interesting and funny people what they are nerdy for. I come from the 1940s, but my friend over here comes from present day. His name is Zach Wright, and he is a comedian of 10 years in the Atlanta area. Zachary, Zach, I like to call you, we are in my costume chamber.
It's very nice.
Thank you. And you're on a podcast. It's called Nerdy For.
Wait, what? No one told me.
And you are funny, and you are nice. And I've known you for like 7 years, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
6 years at least. And I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is very fun. This is there's a lot of things I'm nerdy about, so it was hard to narrow down what I wanted to do.
Did you come with something prepared?
I did.
What is it?
I think what I settled on that would be the most interesting is professional wrestling.
Oh, that sounds great.
what a fun way to let your guests talk about what they like. This is just like when your mom came on, want to talk about trees.
This is what you're going to do. You're going to talk about your favorite wrestling characters, Jesus and Christ. I'm going to compare them to someone in musical theater that has the exact same energy.
Well, that's the argument I was, that's what I was thinking about for this is what I was going to make, because I know you love theater. And I
Who, me?
Yeah.
The theater.
I already read through 6 different voices. I see the theater kid. I see that.
We're going to have some fun today. Do you have any fun voices you like to do? Do you have a wrestler voice? Do you have a wrestler leotard?
Ooh, yeah. Try to get a little macho man? No, I
You
don't.
Sound like the Kool-Aid man.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
No, I don't have any wrestling gear. I was such a big fan as a kid, though, that when one of my favorite wrestlers won, I did sleep with a little replica belt around my waist.
Oh, in homage.
Yeah.
Like, we did it, team.
Yeah. So funny now because he's he's still active in wrestling, but people don't like him. CM Punk, he won the title.
CM
Punk.
Like a C and M.
Chicago Made Punk.
Punk. Cool, 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 cool. Is this also his street name? Does he do rapping as well? Is he white?
He is white, but he does not rap. No, it's all like punk music. Comes out to like Cult
Metallica?
Of Personality.
Oh, okay. I don't
Living
think I know
Color.
What punk music is.
That full like sleeve tattoos.
Are they real?
Piercing. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he invested in that. When you were a wrestler of the fake variety, is it a lot like being a Kardashian and you're just like always getting surgeries to make sure everything is plump and juicy?
Yes, but instead of like surgeries, it's just like steroids and HGH. Like you got to like stay with that like caveman brow level where it like changes the structure of your face. So kind of like a Kardashian.
Yeah, they're in it to win it. They're making sacrifices for their art.
Yeah.
I get it. And then that would make sense, too, because I heard if you do a lot of steroids, it makes your testicles teeny tiny, and they're getting hit in them.
Yeah.
Either for reals or for not for reals, like stage combat. So it would be the smaller, maybe the less tender.
As someone, if you can't tell from my physique, an avid steroid user, I'm surprised that I can't really comment on whether... I would imagine it's probably more tender, actually. I would take, there's less surface area. All those nerves are together.
More concentrated.
Yeah, I think maybe, it'll be more intense.
I've heard it gets smaller because your body is no longer using your testicles to make testosterone. So they atrophy. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Oh, I thought it had something to do with, the cycles they have to go on of, replace, different hormones.
That's just what I heard. And I'm not a doctor. I just listen to YouTube videos.
Honestly, close enough.
Same amount of medical experience I have, so that's we're going with it.
We're at the same level.
Yeah.
Awesome. How old were you when you started? You've been doing it for 10 years. You look 18 and a half. How old were you when you started? I'm teasing.
So
kind of.
Simple maths. I'm 26 now. I did my first set when I was 16.
There you go.
I remember you used to stand outside a Star Bar.
Yeah.
Because you weren't allowed inside.
Yeah. That was the toughest part of starting so young is there are so many... I think the two main places to make a name for yourself in the scene at the time were Star Bar and the Laughing Skull, which were both 21 and up. And I was so mad because the Laughing Skull, the Vortex, was 18 and up. And then the year that I was going to turn 18, they did the smoking thing that moved it to 21 and up. And I was like, I was so close.
Good for you for hanging in there and trying to do it. Dude, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Were you either you had parents who were very supportive or no supervision whatsoever? You were just loose in the streets and you got in line to do stand up.
My dad played music growing up. And like,
so you punched him in the throat. Yeah. He's a nerd, and he left the house and he went and did comedy.
No, my dad was cool. He was much cooler than me.
I'm kidding. I feel bad now.
he played South by Southwest and everything, but he started like playing shows and like bars in Atlanta when he was about like 13. And
oh my gosh!
Granddad would drop him off.
Is this
at
like
shows.
Louisiana? And he's
this is the old Roxy.
Oh,
the
wow.
old Roxy in Atlanta and places like that. The original Masquerade. And yeah, so he kind of like just repaid the debt to me of something that I wanted to do.
Like, you go do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Try not to do too much heroin.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, like this was like, he was playing in bar shows in Atlanta in the 80s at like 13. So I can only imagine
what he saw. The 80s were wild.
Like, it's like, that's very different. I feel like you have to like worry less about dropping your kid off at an open mic or like an improv show
than like Studio 54.
Yeah I feel like it was probably like, not only is he like repaying the debt, it's like, this is probably gonna be fine. I say that, but the very first open mic I did, my dad went with me at the Hangar, which is now reopened as Headspace 151, and the host did do a coke deal with another comic before bringing me up well on stage.
What? Whoa. Backstage or on stage?
No, he was on
bit?
Stage. He asked.
You do coke bits on stage now.
Well, he just asked, like, he asked the person, hey, do you have any coke? And he was like, yeah. And then he came up and gave, like, a very, like, just whatever the extreme most opposite of subtlety is.
Yes.
Yeah.
In public.
Yeah.
No,
you said the Hangar, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Hangar doesn't count. Like, it doesn't.
Technically was at someone's house.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People lived
Hangar,
there.
Hangar was awful.
That's
but that makes sense.
Wild. I've never seen cocaine in the wild.
Oh.
I have a sheltered life.
I also used to host an open mic at Smith's Old Bar. Oh. So I've seen cocaine in the wild.
That was a very late one, right?
Yes.
Yes. That's, I think, probably when it comes out at night with the raccoons. They the raccoons bring it.
That's what those thumbs are for, chopping up lines.
Chop, 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 chop. They're so dexterous. Okay, you've been doing comedy since you're 16. Now it's 10 years later, and you're doing great. Is this your dream goal, your goal dream? This is it. You're going to do it. Or do you have, a pocket dream, like something else as well?
No, comedy's always been the way that I got into stand-up was that I would, watch, Letterman and Conan. And, try to write my own monologue jokes. And I found out that that was, a job that, stand-up comics get paid to do. And I was like, oh, I guess that's what I wanted to do. And I kept, watching comedy and trying to write my own stuff at, 12, 13. So it was just something
that's
that
impressive.
I realized that I wanted to do. I was, had a lot of fun. It was also, I came up at the same time.
Are you, 12? My wife!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The kids. I came up at the same time that Twitter was just starting to pop off, and people were just a few years older than me, still teenagers, getting writing jobs off of Twitter.
Oh,
like
cool.
Shelby Firo and stuff, writing for late night programs from just having tweets do well. So it was oh, this is something I want to do, and it seems the most attainable it's ever been for someone to kind of jump into it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started doing. And now it is 10 years later, and I have zero writing credits still.
Same.
Nice.
It's tricky. Right?
It is.
It's tricky.
Because as soon as that door opened, it shut. They hired five people off
Twitter.
Well,
they probably, they found out they were teenagers. They're maybe we should actually use human resources to kind of vet some of these people, make sure they can hold down a job and not flake out or, I don't know, have to go back to class. I'm sorry, my free period's over. I'll be back in an hour and a half. I got to do calculus now.
You should have tried being born into an already famous family. That's one a lot of people don't think about.
That's playing 4D chess right there.
Yeah.
4D chess. Do you play chess?
No. I wish I did. All my friends who play chess, all the comedy people I know, are really smart people and really, it seems like it'd be a good time. Ryan Darling, teaches chess.
Yes, he does.
Which I'm like, that sounds... Honestly, to have a job outside of comedy, that sounds probably a pretty sweet one.
Well, he teaches it to children.
Yeah, I know. They don't know if you're wrong or not. You can just kind of tell them whatever.
Well, they have all these videos on the internet, and they watch it on YouTube, so they could get really good fast.
Even less work you have to do. That sounds, again, this all sounds great.
That's just a substitute teacher's job. Like, all right, everybody, we're going to put on this video. Yeah. We're going to find a boy named Bobby Fischer. And then I'm going to take a little nap over here.
Yeah, did you watch Queen's Gambit?
I have not, no.
It's delicious. I loved it.
Yeah. It's all about pills and being hot and then also some chess.
And a little bit of decorating. A
lot of decorating, a lot of really good set design on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start doing a class like that where I teach the kids how to count cards.
Yeah.
Mm. People from MIT did that.
Do you know how to count cards?
No, that'd be the first step is learning how to count cards.
Yeah, you're like, now for day one, please teach Mr. Wright how to do this.
Yeah, we're learning together. Yeah.
This weekend, I met a guy who knew one of the people at MIT who was doing the card counting. And they just eventually got kicked out of Las Vegas because they're like identifying the people who could count the cards.
That's like, I don't even know enough about it to know how you get caught. I'm like, I guess you just keep winning, but like there's gotta be.
Oh, I would be terrible at lying to begin with, let alone counting cards. I'll get in your van face and personality. I start sweating the moment we have to start lying. I would be terrible at buying cocaine on stage. All right, so, okay. You're doing just comedy. Do you think about things that you're nerdy for before you came here? You said you would.
Oh, I'm super nerdy about, well, obviously the pro wrestling. I love soccer.
Big
soccer fan.
The wrestling. Soccer. Oh, because the Atlanta United?
Yeah, my family has season tickets. I used to go a lot more. But I follow a lot of like European soccer and I get really like into like the stats of it all.
Oh, like that's pretty nerdy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like this one, that's what I was like, oh, well, this is something I'm really nerdy about, but it doesn't sound as fun being like, all right, so the expected goal if they take a shot here versus if they take a shot there is like.
Oh, that's like, yeah. What's that when you're betting on stocks, percentages, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a math term.
Yeah.
And that goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about because boy is betting an epidemic in soccer. It's a problem.
Do you bet? Are you
No, I
are you suffering from gambling?
I wish.
Well, you're like, please have a little juicy addiction we can talk about.
Do you have a problem we need to expose on this very special Oprah?
Jesus Christ.
No, I refuse to do it because I feel like I would get caught up in it. Mm-hmm. I have friends that I watch soccer with that they do it a lot. And they had like a, okay, if you sign up for this betting app with the code that we give you, we get all this money for it. And I was like, sure. So I had to put $25 in. And this was like 3-4 years ago. And I've spent maybe $10 of it. Uh-huh. I like only doing crazy parlays. Ooh. Like I put $1 down. If I win, I'm getting like $6,000 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I like doing the ones that are like almost impossible to happen. Cause I feel like if I went for like actually trying to do it, I will immediately become addicted.
Yeah. It's part of the brain that's also addicted to Instagram. It's like what's going to come up next. Like people who are doing slot machines.
Yeah.
And whatnot. It's like something might happen next and I might get a little fuzzy happiness in the brain, a little synapsis, a little dopamine. A little erection. I don't know your life.
I don't. No, only when they play a beautiful pass does that happen.
Do you get excited when there's a beautiful pass? It does look elegant.
The beautiful game. It's so good. I literally.
They look like dancers.
Yeah, I feel like there's very few sports that are as artistic as soccer. If that makes sense.
I think it helps that we can't see or hear them breathing hard.
Yeah,
it just looks like he's galloping across the field and he's hitting the kicking the ball and it's going to the right person.
Yeah,
and we don't hear them like like just dying from all these sprints.
Oh yeah, the top level, those dudes like running up and down the entire time. I can't imagine. That's like so very funny. During COVID, when they had no people in the stadium, they did have it mic'd up where you could hear the people.
The struggle.
And it was very funny.
Were they slurring at each other in different languages?
No, but it gave me the team I support is Arsenal. It gave me one of my this Arsenal player's favorite moment because he wasn't that good, but it did give us this. He was going against, like, he shoulder checked someone who this man is, like, gigantic, like, and buff that he shoulder checked, and he went down, he, like, dove, like, he was, like, flopping on the ground and everything, and you could just hear so clearly the Arsenal player Rob Holding go, "He's built like a brick shit house. How's he gone down like that?" I miss that. I wish they would still mic it up just like that. Cause
to hear all their language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like,
a brick shit house as poetic.
Yeah. Not just poetic with the ball. They also, that's the other thing, too. Like, I feel like English soccer, like, that's so much, like, the talking back and forth is so much of the culture around it that, like, American sports don't have.
The smack talk. I think the pitcher can do it to people who are trying to hit the ball. What's that called? Baseball.
Yeah.
Not the pitcher.
That is what that's called.
The catcher. The catcher can talk smack.
Yeah.
And Yogi Berra was really good at it, I hear.
But that's
there,
like,
was a documentary on Netflix about Yogi Berra.
That's like, I feel like the players do it in a lot of sports, but like soccer specifically, like, you'll have like an entire stadium like chanting about like your personal life at you and like a beautiful song.
Oh, wow.
Like, I feel like if, like, I don't know, like, Cristiano Ronaldo, like, he's basically probably never gonna step foot in America again because of a sexual assault case that happened in Las Vegas. And the first time that he played at Manchester United again after coming back, this is like 2-3 years ago, they were playing this team Newcastle. And to give you an idea of, like, what Newcastle fans are like, they're called Geordies because they live, like, on the Geordie Shore. And they did, like, their own version of the Jersey Shore. It's, like, that, like, one-to-one type of person. And the entire stadium chanting on Ronaldo's first game back, "The Geordie boys are on a bender. Cristiano is a sex offender." Like, that is, like, the entire stadium's, like, chanting that at you while you're trying to, like, you know, catch the ball with your chest and stuff. Like, American sports don't have
it's
that, like,
public shaming.
Yeah. Like,
and bullying.
No one, like, imagine, like, children, all the way from, like, children to grandmothers chanting about Ben Roethlisberger's past if you were playing against him. Oh, he's a quarterback who,
Did he have a
he sexually assaulted multiple women. Yeah.
Oh, a bad boy.
And kept playing. And, like, it was not, like, he got off.
Oof. Gosh.
Yeah, sports. There's a lot of bad people in sports.
Yeah.
They're roided out, I'm sure, making great decisions left and right.
Yeah, when you get hit in the head for a living, I'm sure by the time you're late 20s, early 30s, your decision-making is...
all mush.
Yeah.
Your job is beating up people.
Yeah.
It must be hard to figure out what the line is.
That's like the whole, like, CTE stuff is, like, you can only, like, study it after someone dies. You can't, like, really check it, like, while it's happening.
It's uncomfortable to scan your brain underneath the skull while it's still on there, maybe. So I actually heard that girls get more concussions from soccer than any other sport that they do.
Interesting.
Maybe it's just a matter of numbers, but.
Soccer is the second most concussed sport across the board. Like, now they have, like, rules. Even, like, when I was a kid playing, like, they didn't have these rules. So they just kind of recently, like, you can't start, like, heading the ball until you're, like, 14 now.
Oh, that's good.
But it used to be, like, I don't know, when I was, like, 10, 9.
I saw it in real time, two kids under 12 both trying to head the same ball, and they just headed each other's heads. Yeah.
Oh, what?
You could hear it ring throughout the field. They're like, ooh.
Oh, you can't get a concussion anymore during the most important developmental stage of your brain? The game's gone. The game's gone.
Boo.
Yeah. What happened to the sport I love? That's another thing. I love, like, the old British dude version of it. That's just something they always say. The game's gone because you can't, like, break people's legs anymore.
Oh, well, this is the same people who invented rugby, right? The Brits?
Like, I don't know if rugby, I feel that feels right, but also it's one of their offshoots.
Yeah. It's British. Rugby's British.
And what's more.
It was in England.
I was going to say, but what's more British than it being invented somewhere else and them just taking credit for it?
Oh, that's right. A little colonialism.
Yeah. Just put it in the Smithsonian. Call it theirs.
It was in 1823. It was in England.
It's a long time ago.
At rugby school.
Oh.
So that's what they call it, rugby. What?
Did we invent football?
No, probably not. We
Google it.
Oh, God.
Jamie, pull that up.
I'm curious. Did we invent? I feel like we invented football.
1880. Oh, of American football. So I guess maybe we did make
We invented
American
our football.
Football.
It feels rugby-esque.
That's crazy though, because like the soccer team, that's my favorite, Arsenal in London, they were founded as a club in 1886. So they are 6 years younger than football. American football itself.
That makes sense. Everything's older there.
Yeah, but I'm like, damn.
Yeah, rugby's older than actual American football. Because rugby was founded in 1823, and American football was founded in 1880.
I think it's our rendition of rugby.
Yeah, and then we were like, let's call this football, even though we don't use our feet.
They do kick it at the beginning.
Yeah, once. And then opposed to soccer, which is known as football around the world, well, they use their feet primarily.
That's the confusing part.
Do you know where soccer comes from, where that term... So the reason that the English hate the term soccer is not...
Is it a slur? Well, is it fanny over there? Because that means a vagina.
Yeah, I
love how she's explaining it. And you're like, let me cut you off.
I just got excited. Sorry.
No, it's it's always... Football, soccer has always been a lower class thing, the working class sport.
Because you only need a ball. You don't even technically need shoes.
Yeah, you don't need anything for it. And then...
you don't need a hoop.
The elites in England, I want to say around the late 1800s, maybe early 1900s, they went through a whole thing of just changing words for no fucking reason because they're bored, and they started calling it soccer. So it became a class divide of it's football. That's what we call it when we're working in the mines for y'all. It's football. And they're like, no, we're calling it soccer now. And then it completely died out because the working class won on that, but now people think it's soccer, football. It's they hate it because that's what the Yanks call it.
What used to be what the posh people called it.
Yeah,
maybe it's soccer if you stop for finger sandwiches. Tea time, everyone have a crumpet, get back to your soccer. And you're like, I just like a point and I want to kick the ball.
You say a point?
Football. A point.
See how long you can hold this one, this accent for.
It hurts my throat.
let's see how long this one goes.
Right, mate, right. All right.
Yeah, so you're listening to a lot of British television. Television.
Oh, yeah. I listen to so much of it because of soccer, and they are...
Ryan Reynolds has a soccer team.
Yeah, Wrexham FC. They're in the third or fourth division of the sport in England.
So there's so many teams that they have first level, second level.
Yeah.
I took my A levels.
It'd be the minor league baseball teams, the Rome Braves could play their way into being in the top level.
Okay. But Ryan Reynolds invested in a lower team, lower tier team.
Oh yeah.
But it's cute. He keeps flying over there for their things.
Him and Rob,
another,
what's his name, from
right?
It's Always Sunny?
Yeah. McElhinney. Yeah.
You know what? Men have tricky relationships. So if you can just invest in a third or fourth tier soccer team in Europe, and then that's honey, I have to go support my team, and you go with your bro. It's get out of jail free card for having guy time that doesn't involve golf.
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would buy, if I had the money, I'd buy a whatever division, non-league side. Just for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm. Have you gone and visited and treated yourself?
No, I have not. So I've been to a bunch of Atlanta United games. I've never been.
They have a drum section. Have you seen that?
Yeah, there's
it's really cool.
There's
a tiponium drum.
Well,
is that what it's called? The tiponine?
Well, now you're not even allowed to stand in stadiums anymore in England.
Oh, because they were getting too rowdy.
Because all the hooliganism. Mm. There's people that died in a terrible disaster in 89 or
so. Everyone has to sit 92? The whole time.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to stand in the stadium.
Wow.
During the games anymore.
That's so British. I'm sorry, that's so British.
They don't
everyone follow the rules right now.
They don't serve beer anymore until before the game, halftime. That's it.
Because so people are getting hammered.
Yeah, it was a problem. People hooliganism.
Hooligans.
Yeah.
Ne'er-do-wells.
That's what, yeah, soccer hooligans, what all the rowdy fans are called.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, we have people setting things on fire
and
storming the field and taking down the football fork. What's it called? At the end, the fork.
The goalposts?
The goalposts. They're tearing it down. They're spearing strangers. They're carrying it through the streets.
The crazy people are called the ultras, like of like top European clubs, like Juventus, which is like the Yankees of like Italian soccer. Their ultras, not only do they, a lot of like ultras throughout Europe have like right wing connections. The Juventus ultras were arrested a few years ago with multiple like assault weapons. They even had an air to surface to air rocket launcher.
Wait,
that
what?
Could take down a plane.
A soccer team?
Just the fans. The fans, the Juventus ultras had this,
this
in
is
their
what?
Possession.
That's not sporting. What is happening? What? That's a terrorist.
They're just ready.
You're right. That would not be sporting to use a surface-to-air rocket launcher against the opposing team.
0 points for sportsmanship award.
What was the plan?
That's at least a yellow card.
Were they just letting you know, like, listen, y'all better take a bus in because we will fucking kill you in the sky.
Well, that's the thing. They just had it, and it got, like, there's a lot of, like,
this is Peaky Blinders. Like, they found, like, the weapons.
We just happened upon this. No big deal.
For some reason, like, the sport, like, there's, like, a lot of, like, left-leaning, like, fans. And, like, you have, like, Celtic and, like, Scotland who are all, like, about, like, anti-fascism and stuff like that. But then you have, like, ultra groups, like, supporters and different clubs that are just straight up outright fascists. It's pretty crazy.
So you pick your sports team based on your politics?
Some people do.
It sounds like, you know what, maybe we poo-poo America, but if we just pick it based on where you were born,
yeah,
or what city you're living in now, and you can be liberal or conservative, and you are gonna still cry because the Bills can't make it to playoffs. Like, this is crazy that they're like aligning themselves so crazy.
Oh,
like,
yeah, there's a team
along party lines.
There's another team in Italy, Lazio.
Bless you.
which had such a fascist like fixation on like Mussolini and the Nazis that they're literally nicknamed Nazio instead of Lazio. Like, one of their like star players scored a goal one time and like Sig Hailed and like,
no,
yeah,
you
like,
can't do that in Germany, you get in trouble.
Yeah, that's like, so he did it when he was,
you can do it in America though, we're pretty loose on fascism right now.
Yeah. he did it when he was playing for West Ham actually in London. But he was, like, the captain of the Lazio team in Italy for a long time and, like, went over there and, like, scored and, like, Sig Hailed. Like, there's a lot of, like, crazy.
That's a nightmare. Christ. So that's, so then what I'm hearing from you is the Nazis are back and Voldemort is coming.
The Nazis never left.
Yeah, Nazis never left.
I thought they were sent to South America.
I mean, that doesn't mean that they went any, like, that they went away. They just moved and hid.
Some of them went there. Some of them went into American government. Some went into NATO. Some just stayed in Germany.
A lot of them came over as American scientists and politicians.
These are new Nazis. These Nazis weren't born during the Nazi times.
So I mean, you're going to have your mind blown to know how many Nazis there are still.
You're right.
Not like ones that have like been around. Most of them are dead, yes, due to age.
Yeah.
But their principles and ideals are very entrenched in America.
They want all the white people who are getting murdered by the sun and can't have wheat or dairy to run things.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think we're the best race. I'm going to put that out there.
Well, I think Nazis would disagree with you, but they're not smart Nazis.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Jesus Christmas.
Stances on this show, I did not think I'd hear. Yeah.
Googling.
I'm not Googling
my
anything.
My name is Joel, and my favorite word is
I'm
Nazi.
I'm not Googling shit about Nazis.
We did that with the N-word the other day.
What?
Just Googling it?
We were going to have Joel try to Google the etymology
of
the
N-word.
Oh, yeah.
No, you kept asking me. Yeah,
and he's like, I will not.
Yeah, I'm not doing
that. I refuse to put this in my browser.
Yeah, I'm not doing these things.
That'd be funny just to see what your sponsored ads become afterwards.
I don't. They would be the same as other Nazis.
Let's riff on that right now.
No, don't riff on this.
I think it's going to be Truck Nuts.
This is my job as a producer to say no.
Your ads are going to come in. Truck Nuts.
I'm getting this ad to run for state office in South Carolina. I didn't even know that was
an advertisement. I'm pre-approved? Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. I have 20,000 votes already.
Just click here to claim them.
Yeah.
So Voldemort's coming back.
Yeah. Or, you know, again... Or maybe just put on a different outfit and went and worked somewhere else. Never left.
Yeah.
And no, some of them. Young people are turning into it again.
That's.
And they can do that crazy stuff in public and not feel ashamed.
Emboldened by the internet.
Emboldened by the, yeah. We're just all so susceptible to what we expose ourselves to.
And that's why you have to be really careful when you pick your favorite soccer team.
Yeah, do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
Don't do the Nazi soccer team.
Yeah, really. If their nickname is Nazio, probably don't go with them.
It's not a nut in Italian.
No.
Nutella.
That's like so funny. Like it's so prevalent in like so many like European soccer teams to see that kind of stuff.
I would not even notice it. I'm glad you told me. Because I would stick my foot right in it. So, A, you can like soccer. B, make sure it's not a Nazi team.
Yeah.
What's your advice for C? You probably have to get some sort of special internet to watch the games.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was growing up, like, it was, like, maybe, like, two games were on, like, ESPN2. Like, now it's, like, all on NBC, and you can watch it all, at least the Premier League, like, English soccer. But there is a long period of time of lots of having to stream, sail the high seas to find soccer games.
To stream it. So this is what's interesting to me. I feel like other countries are so much more into soccer than the United States. How do we do at all well in these World Cups? And how have we been doing? I haven't been paying attention.
So
I feel like we did well recently.
Women's team did great for a long run.
It was like they did great. I'm having a flashback
because there's like a lot of more infrastructure at the time. Now, like I don't know, you see like women's soccer in Europe and around the world not taken obviously like as seriously.
Oh wait, they might be a little bit more sexist.
Oh yeah.
So maybe that's why we get to do better. We got the money, and we can like hire the people, and we like women more than probably Italian men. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to say maybe that's okay. I don't know. I just know like back in the day when you would travel in Italy, they'd be like, and like they'd try to grab your butt.
Wait, what are you trying to say? What's your stance that you're taking right now? I'm very confused.
Sexism in old school European countries might be a thing. Not in Sweden or Germany, though.
So you're saying that America treats their women better than Italy does?
Now.
Okay. I thought you were saying that we just like women better than we like Italian people.
Oh,
and
no.
So that's what I was just like, what is the stance we're taking? Where
that
are we?
That is facts.
I mean, do they even have gym class in Europe? The pants are too tight to do gym class in Europe. I don't think they do it.
Your world is so fascinating. You just get to like every once in a while you duck your head below the clouds you live above and you're like, what are they doing down there?
What are they doing down here? It's not gym class.
That's wild.
Yeah.
They're smoking cigarettes. They're not like, in tight jeans.
We could order bigger pants, but nah, we'll just go ahead and cut it from the curriculum.
I went to Spain when I was in high school 30 years ago. There was no gym class. It was all smoking cigarettes and trying to kiss boys.
That does sound like definitely the French curriculum.
Yes, and
making
this was
out and smoking cigarettes for sure.
Didn't you go there to try to kiss boys though?
Well, I was supposed to learn Spanish.
I think the kissing boys part was you.
Also, just want to specify when we're talking about Europe, we are not talking about England because Brexit means Brexit and they're out.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah. Do you think does Scotland have good teams? Do they beat UK or does the UK have more resources?
So England is definitely like. By a mile, like out of like all United Kingdom, all the Anglos, like that is the like country with like the
best soccer.
Yeah.
Do they always win the World Cup?
No, that's been the big thing. They've won it once in the 60s, and that was like the big thing of like there's a big chant in English soccer, the it's coming home, and it never does. They never win.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Stage fright? Do they have other tummies so full of bangers and mash they can't run anymore?
Oh, if we want to get into it, there's a team that should have won it in the like late 90s, 2000s.
Bad call.
But they were like truly like a golden generation that failed to win anything because they
is Beckham they were, in this one?
Yeah,
I think I saw his history.
But people
on
were
Netflix.
Like fucking each other's wives and said like they were like really like heated rivalries. They could not get it together like as the England national team. They all hated each other.
That's not good. So team spirit is what made them fall apart. The lack of it.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson that the soft sciences are just as important as soccer. Football.
You can't win the World Cup if you're shagging your teammate's wife. You can win the Premier League in England and the Champions League and the FA Cup because that's what happened with one player at Manchester United, Ryan Giggs. He did sleep with his brother, who's also a player's wife.
He slept with a guy?
No, his brother was also a teammate on Manchester United.
Oh, he slept with his brother's wife?
Yeah. And
damn.
Yeah. There used to be a lot of that in English soccer. They're also, that's what I mean when I say the game's gone, is they don't all smoke a cigarette and drink multiple beers at halftime anymore and just shag each other's wife. Yeah.
Now.
Well, and they're like serious and they care.
American baseball was like that too.
Yeah.
Like, hold my ciggy. I got to go try to hit a home run.
But that's a sport I feel like it makes more sense. I feel like you could still get away
with
that.
Yeah, you're
not
running back and forth
yeah.
constantly, just standing and watching.
It was honestly way more impressive, I think, to win anything in that time period. I feel like making them stop smoke cigarettes and like stop drinking at halftime is the equivalent to like doing steroids now. I feel like you really like, oh, well, yeah, these are freaks of nature you're playing against if you're still smoking.
And able to run constantly for an hour.
That's why you just put a 2-foot tackle in and break someone's leg.
Oh.
They kept outrunning you and you're like, oh, you trying to show me up? annoying little twat. And then you just 2-foot them. Break their leg.
Break their leg. Dangerous. I know like a lot of girls who like dislocated shoulders, broken their arms playing soccer. It's dangerous. It looks like it's not dangerous because it's elegant and it's just your feet, but it's very dangerous.
It's so funny that like simultaneously has like the reputation of like flopping and diving and people like getting like just barely touched and they roll on the ground, which like you do see that happen, but also like the amount of like people have just had careers ended, like the amount of like tackles that are just awful is insane too.
Ugh.
And so I'm like, whenever I watch it with someone who like knows of the sport but does not watch it, I get like so mad because they'll like see any tackle and they'll be like, oh, they're just faking it. Like, get up. I'm like, he went in studs up, like the studs of his cleat into his shin. Like, that shit hurts.
Ew. That's bad choreography. No.
Yeah.
If we're doing this. Okay. I'm going to find out what kind of nerd you are now, my dear.
Okay.
Unless you have anything else to say about soccer. That was very interesting. I'm sorry. Football. Goal for Spain. No?
What accent was that?
It's this, the guy's house I was staying in Spain.
Oh, okay, okay.
I thought that was a Hungarian commentator.
Yeah, I was just like, where are we? What region are we at right now? We're going all across.
Oh, I do know we had a Spanish exchange student stay at my neighbor's house, and he was so good at soccer. And the soccer team was like, please, 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 please play for us. It was high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to do ice hockey. Ice hockey. Never been on skates. So, and he's like, I'm just going to be really bad at ice hockey and skating and just try really hard at this.
He didn't have a chance to do that
star
over.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have been crushing puss.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have had any fun playing soccer with everyone here that sucked at it, though. Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, he would have to take his jeans off, which was not an option. So, all right. All right, Zach. Right. We're going to find out what kind of nerd you are.
Okay.
We already know you are nerdy for wrestling and soccer. Do you have other sports you are nerdy for? Nine?
No.
Nine. Okay, you love Nazis?
We started French and then we went to German.
Well, he loves Nazis, and I was trying to make him feel comfortable.
I do not like Lazio. I'm not a fan of Nazis in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Would like to go on the record real quick as being hard anti-Nazi.
Taking a bunch of big swings on this episode here, Amy.
We need a strong government. We need men running it with big hogs. So I'm just trying to figure what a fascist is in my imagination in the 40s.
Just because I produced this podcast doesn't mean I stand by anything that's said here. These do not reflect the views of...
As we established in the beginning, I didn't even know I was on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I trapped him in the street, brought him in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how I make all my friends.
I haven't been able to leave in a year.
I liquor them up, fatten them up, and then put them in my oven. You need some fattening up before you get put in my oven.
I'll take fattening up over accused Nazi sympathizer, yeah, for sure.
I saw a big pause there. I thought you might talk about your job at the fancy restaurant. Okay. Have you ever said huzzah?
Yes.
And have you been to a Ren Faire?
Yes.
Okay. Did you like it?
So going to the Renaissance Fair with my girlfriend, we were enamored with every time at this stand when someone would buy a drink and they tipped. The person, they had to all yell out, huzzah to the tipper, and yes, that has become a staple in our daily life.
Huzzah to the tipper. Your girlfriend was on this podcast, and she mentioned it.
I assume that was good. Tamara Rubin, very funny.
Yes. Huzzah to the tipper.
Huzzah to the tipper.
So when she pours, like, you pour coffee in her cup.
We went out of our way to buy like the extra like $3 for the big Renaissance mug that comes with it. So I constantly drink water out of it at the house and just go, huzzah to the tipper.
And then she takes her top off. There has to be like a call and response. Tippa, huzzah. Belay on belay.
Did you see the video? This is a while ago at this point, of like the overly sexualized like person working the counter at the Renaissance Fair, like they're like pouring like mead down someone like and like making it really sexual.
Oh no,
that's just called a Renaissance Fair worker.
I was gonna say
just
that does
a general.
I haven't been. I need to go.
There for some reason
it's horny.
Yeah, it is very horny for absolutely
I'm gonna be
no
very
reason.
Uncomfortable.
It's theater kid. No, you're not, because you were a theater kid. It's that same kind of horny energy.
But can I go as a like a Victorian lady? Like, oh my.
Yeah.
Put your top on, madame.
It's encouraged. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do. I like going for the joust that they do. That's fun. They do like a little story throughout the day of like different knights fighting for princess's hand.
Oh, what's that place? The place is a restaurant, and it's like the red versus the blue, and
medieval times.
Medieval times.
Yeah,
everyone gets tomato soup.
Yeah, it's like that, but instead you just walk around drinking hot Jameson out of a flask all day.
Dude, I did that on accident actually at a reunion recently, and I was worse for the wear. I saw Colin Quinn on a train, and I couldn't go say hi to him because I had to stay in the bathroom. Every compartment is a private compartment on a train if you are sick inside of it, and lock the door and don't let anyone else use the bathroom. Here we go. Have you ever ridden a unicycle?
No, but I wish I have, which might be nerdier.
It is.
I would like to learn how to ride a unicycle.
It looks cool, right? And then you go to the Ren Faire.
Well, it just seems like a fun thing to pull out of nowhere, right? Like, that's a fun little, like, I don't know if party trick is the right word, because I don't think you get invited to many parties when you have a unicycle, but it does seem like a fun little thing to...
Do you want
to
be on a unicycle and juggling?
That's getting into clown territory, isn't it?
Do you want to be on the strap of that goes between two trees, a slack strap?
I've done that before. I'm not on a unicycle, obviously, but that's fun.
You've done that?
I
do you have a hacky sack in your car right now?
I don't.
Okay.
I do have 10 folding chairs that I need to give back to the person I borrowed from.
Was that for a show?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe it was for hanging out in the woods with your bestie.
Yeah, me
you don't
and,
have 10
me
friends.
And my 9 closest friends all just hang out in the woods talking about how sick it would be if we all had unicycles.
If only we had some blacktop.
Yeah. See, when you say like that, juggling, no. But like on the slack line, then it becomes like stunts, and that seems like it circles back to being cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Being able to
sure.
do like death-defying like stunts is really cool.
Can you do a backflip?
Probably not anymore.
Okay, but you used to. Okay, you got backflip energy.
I feel like at 12 or 13, after doing enough on the trampoline, we tried to learn how to do it. And we could, me and my friends, I think, could nail a sloppy backflip.
Okay, did you...
That's where you get head in the middle of a backflip. Sorry.
Can you walk on your hands?
No.
Okay.
No. I feel like if I tried that, I would just...
Smash your face.
Yeah.
Me too. That's where I'm at.
I have small body hands. Strength. I feel like I would not. It would
oh
not
my
be
gosh,
good.
You do.
I
would oh, not they be, are darling.
Yeah, I have very tiny
<You're>
hands.
Shocked.
Put them up to my hand.
Oh they're
my
sweaty, God. But yes.
Oh my God, we have the same size hands.
Yeah,
and I don't have a wiener.
he has like you know no he has a smaller man. He's just you know he's.
Well, how tall are you?
I am 5'8".
Yeah, I'm 5'2¼". So you have 5'2¼" hands on a 5'8" body.
Yeah. I played goalkeeper, too, so that was a problem.
Goalkeeper of the what?
Soccer.
Okay, because so, you had to catch the ball with your tiny hands.
Yeah, because my dad played goalkeeper, and he was 6'3", and he was my coach. And I learned, and my uncle was, like, a defender, played goalkeeper a little bit. And
this
he's
is where
like,
you got your soccer passion.
Yeah, like, he was, like, oh. he was over, he's over 6 feet. So we all just expected that was going to happen for me, and then I just stopped growing and was very tiny in goal. There's only, like, one goalkeeper at the professional level who's, like, my height.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just you're just covering more space if you're bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. And then you played a little soccer. Was there ever a time in your life where your family would refuse to take pictures of you because you were dressed in goth or identified as a parrot or anything like that? You're thinking really hard.
So, no, my I don't think I ever dressed too crazy.
Well, it sounds like your parents are pretty accepting if they're dropping you off at an open mic when you're 16.
Yeah.
Try not to buy too much cocaine.
Yeah, my dad would never have a problem with that. My mom's side of the family, very Christian, though, and I could see if I did that they would have some issues with it.
So you can do a hard tuck on a shirt.
Yeah.
And go to church.
I feel...
Keep your mouth shut.
You know what's so funny? They were the type of Christians that were really Christian and never went to church.
Oh. So they just did judge at home instead
yeah.
of public shaming?
Well, God is everywhere, I guess.
Sure, sure, sure. have you ever written fan fiction?
No, I have read it, though.
Okay, what did you read, baby?
So I used to work at a Mellow Mushroom, and there's this bartender, Summer, who wrote... fan fiction for this anime called My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joel, do we know, is this esoteric or is it mainstream?
It's pretty mainstream
people?
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, and she wrote, I
oh,
thought
she,
she
did you
yeah.
have a crush on her and that's why you read it?
No, this oh. is just like, I just got into My Hero and I was more so, I didn't believe her because what she said was that she wrote, the total fan fiction that she wrote was longer than a Lord of the Rings book.
That's too. That's very long. That's very too much long. She and needed to edit. That's a hard. Like it's a hard. It's a conversation to have.
Did not read all of it, but it, she wasn't. She was correct, in fact, in her.
She did not do any editing.
Which is so to do that on just Tumblr posts is insane dedication.
What's a Tumblr post? Oh, is it like a blog thing?
Yeah, just okay. like blog posts, like fan fiction
She's
over time.
She's this manifesto
yeah.
at
yeah.
night.
Creating your own like superhero characters for it and them having their own stories. Yeah.
And backstories and blah, blah, blah. Okay, good for her.
Which is also very funny to do for something that is such a visual medium, too. Like
oh,
it is
a cartoon.
Yeah, it's like the manga, the comic book version, and you're just doing the words.
Yeah.
Turning it in. Yeah, that's it. Just hard. It's easier to go the other way.
Yeah.
Write it and then turn it into.
She would draw character designs, but not like. I mean, at that point, you're just a fucking manga artist if you're doing that for a Lord of the Rings size book.
That's too much. Do you have a card collection?
I did just buy a new set of Magic the Gathering cards.
Oh,
the other week.
Do you play this with Joel on his podcast somehow?
No, I do another nerd game.
Okay. Magic the Gathering. I always hear about this, but I'm too old to know what that means. But it comes up a lot. Can you sum it up into?
It's a card game where the idea is like all these magical forces, you can summon them and you're fighting against someone. There's five different types of decks, a white.
I'm hard as a rock.
You asked.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, she said, yeah, she's like, you ever, can you explain this to me, you little fucking dweeb?
Yeah.
Where's a locker? I need to throw you in it.
I really thought that, like, what are you nerdy about podcasts would be welcoming. And
she,
like,
is so anti-nerd. She, if someone talks about something she doesn't like, she's just like, oh,
no,
wow.
Yeah, we've had too many episodes.
You were never supportive of other people that like things you don't.
Oh,
you brought on two.
At least I'm not a Nazi like this guy.
Jesus Christ.
You really got to stop saying that. Why I have the bleach blonde hair and I can't do anything about the blue eyes.
Yeah. You have bleach blonde hair and blue eyes. Are you trying to hide? Did you get the DNA test back and you're disappointed?
Hella Irish.
I mean, it's. Do you have one of those driving caps from Peaky Blinders? Have you watched Peaky Blinders?
No, I'm just allergic to working.
Oh, I thought you were going to say wool. As I'm allergic to wool. Irish people are allergic to work?
Irish need not apply.
Oh, well, I thought they were just being mean. Have you ever held a tropical bird?
No.
Have you ever held a ferret? Have you been to a Rush concert?
No.
Have you ever cosplayed or LARPed? What did you cosplay and LARP?
Oh, I've cosplayed as a bunch of different anime characters.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Luffy from One Piece, Izuku Midoriya from My Hero Academia, Hawkeye from the Matt Fraction specific comic book, which is just a t-shirt and bandages all over you,
I
so that's very
no
easy.
I have no idea any of these words you're saying right now. But I'm happy that you were so inspired as to build a costume, or did you buy them? Did you build or buy?
Combination. I didn't have anything that required like making. Like I'm not arts and crafts. Yeah. So it's usually like getting like clothes together and a wig and
calling it a day.
Yeah, like the ones where I'm like, oh, the real like work. Like I'll do bandages or like do a little makeup to like your beat up or whatever from a specific scene. That's easy. That's
a specific scene though. That's pretty freaking nerdy.
That is pretty nerdy.
That's very specific. You're like, no, I'm from the second season, episode 4.
Yeah.
Have you said those words?
No, because usually where I'm at, the people know off the rip.
Oh, they already know.
Yeah.
Because you're with your peeps.
Because it is truly an actual celebration of things that are nerdy, unlike this podcast, which is in fact a trap.
Yeah.
I respect you and your nerdiness. I do.
It's like, welcome to Nerdy Four. Today I got this little bitch in here.
Yeah.
He watches
yeah.
cartoons and he's in his 20s. Anyways.
She's just gonna like keep shuffling. Like yeah. Zach does not get pussy.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
So it's very nice
that you got a ton. Like, you dated like everybody in the.
So it's very nice to know that Tamara is doing such nice charity out here.
you must have game from the girls you've been dating. I mean,
I think there's a generation of women now that like the best thing you can be is just a weird little freak.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
That's
squirrely. Are you good with your hands? Just, your tiny hands?
Just being really in borderline spectrum behavior. I think of like your obsessions and stuff like that for some reason goes a very long
you
way
know what?
Now.
This is my husband's a big nerd and he's over in the other room doing Morse code with a little tick 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 and talking with his ham radio and it's fascinating. He plays emergency Morse code things to me and it saved a whole ship of people. Like you learn wild things from our spectrum friends.
See?
It's wonderful.
If you're into weird little freak guy things, and especially now being short, perfectly fine. That's not even a disability anymore. They let you do that and you still do great with
you
the
do
one.
Great.
Like,
I just
short
like
kings.
5'8" sounds tall to me. Is that not tall for a guy?
I feel like no. I feel like the stereotype has always been like 6 feet.
Well, yeah, for
yeah, like you a want like boy. A dude. Yeah, you want a dude who's like 6 feet, and now
we're a jungle gym.
Now short kings are
in fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a Harry Potter wand?
I did.
Did you read all the books?
No, I did not read all the books. I watched the movies up until the third one, and then jumped in after the third one. Like, started with the fourth book and like read to the end, but I did not read. I never read the first three.
Okay. Do you have a tattoo?
I do.
Is it? What is it?
It's a combination of two bands that I really like.
It looks like a tooth.
Yeah. The first one's a lyric from Bond Music Industry that says, "Nothing's forever, dude." And then this other thing from a band called Joyce Manor, which has a song called Constant Headache. And they say, like, constant headache, like a tooth out of line. And all the Joyce Manor fans have that, like, cracked tooth tattoo.
Ooh, oh, so you're a part of a... It sounds like you're part of some elite esoteric groups. You have, like, your LARPing group where you can dress as a specific scene and everyone knows what it
whoa,
is.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I cosplay at Dragon Con. I don't LARP. I don't take it.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I'm using the wrong language. And then you have a tattoo of a broken tooth that only specific band members or
punk band.
Is this famous? And I just don't know it because I live in a drawer.
They're not like... I wouldn't say those are like super underground, but they're also.
My parents don't know what it is. That's for sure.
Yeah, Joyce Manor is opening for someone, but they're playing the Eastern, which is a pretty big venue here in Atlanta in August. That's like a good few thousand people, maybe. I don't know. I've never been to the Eastern.
Okay, but you have a tattoo about it.
I do. I love their music and their band.
Does the tattoo mean more to you because it's more of an underground thing? Like, only my people will know what this means.
I don't think it means more, but it does make me super excited when I find someone who also has... Like, I used to work with someone who I didn't know was a fan. Then we found out we both had...
The tattoo?
Yeah, the cracked tooth tattoo. And that's a fun little moment.
It's not a swastika.
It is, in fact, not a... It is a tooth.
Yeah, it is not a swastika.
It's a tooth. That's kind of sweet. Do you guys immediately...
I think that's a kind of a binary scale, though, of either it is a swastika or it's not a swastika. I don't think there's I don't think there's...
Those,
like,
are the only two options for tattoos.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, it's, you know, we're just saying...
So, yeah.
Unless you have the community, like, I'm going to fill it in. It's going to be a maze.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, do you immediately have a friendship with those people? Do you mouth kiss? Is there a secret handshake? Is there a hug? Is there, like...
No, it just lets you know that they also had a period when younger in life where this really, like,
the lyrics meant something to them.
Yeah, and then probably should have grown out of it but didn't
because they didn't get the tattoo removed, or
oh no,
they're
like,
still talking about it.
I feel like if you have the tattoo, you still listen, and I still listen, and I love them. But, like, there's a lot of bands like that, like, from this genre specifically, that are definitely targeted more towards young adults. And then all of a sudden, you are older than that target demographic, and you're like, I don't know if I should be listening to these heartbreak teenage songs anymore.
I've got to be honest. The same thing happened to me with musical theater.
Yeah.
It really, as a teenager with all the feelings in the world, every musical felt like it was personal. And I had all those feelings. I didn't know what to do with them. And now as an adult, I like the silly ones that are just like Book of Mormon. It's like,
yeah,
I'm not going on a journey. Although I did... I did cry at the last musical I went to, so maybe I don't have a leg to stand on.
Book of Mormon's
argument.
One of the two musicals I have seen.
Did you love it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
It's LPMs out the window.
Yeah. Then I
laughs
also,
per minute.
Then I saw Wicked recently with Tamar for her birthday because she loves musical theater.
Yeah. Did you enjoy that one? Because that's a little bit more melodramatic. I saw it once and I didn't need to see it again.
I agree with that part. I enjoyed it. I don't know. Maybe... I understood, I would say, about 3/4 of it. I feel like when they're singing the songs... and
it's,
like,
hard to know what's happening.
I know a lot of musical theater people are like, oh, I listen to the soundtrack all the time. I got it. But, like, at first go, and I've never listened to any of it, I'm like,
what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, opera's like that, but they put subtitles in now. They have these, like, ticker tape things going so you can see the subtitles on opera live.
That's cool. What are opera songs? What's the subject matter of opera songs?
I am in love. I'm not supposed to be in love with this person. There's going to be a duel. Oh, I'm dressed as somebody else and they're in love with me now, but I'm in love with somebody else and there's going to be a duel. And
okay, I take back everything I said. This sounds pretty close to a Joyce Manor song. This sounds...
Okay. Do you know how to use a soldering iron? Are you good with your hands?
The first one, no. The second one, no.
I like that you split them up and they're the same answer.
Yeah.
Rubik's Cube. Skateboard.
Only ever solved it once. I did use to skateboard a lot.
Okay, you were a skater kid for a second.
Yes, I did feel like smoke you might, weed and skate in I feel like you high
might,
school.
You might cosplay a little bit different boy types. You're like, I'm going to be the skater guy for a while. I'm going to do the dressing up at Dragon Con for a while. I'm going to do the band guy for a while. Which is life. This is actual yeah. life. And actually, it was tomorrow night, we're talking about, as theater kids, we did the same thing. We're like, who are we supposed to be in this new town? Who are we supposed to be in this new school? What do we people want us to be? And we would change into that. Do you feel like you are you a shapeshifter?
No, I think I've always just been, even from a young age, pretentious about things that I like.
Pretentious about things yeah. that I like.
I like.
Is that a poser or is that authentic?
I don't know. I just thought it was. I think authentic. I just thought it was cooler to like these like skate punk like sort of like culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Do you have like? Do you relate well with like California energy? Like. This is good coffee, but you have to try my coffee because my coffee is the best because I grow the beans in my backyard out of the dog shit from my rescue dog. And
no, I don't think I don't think
no,
and not even because of how specific it got at the end. I think in general, I feel like there was a period maybe in my life where I thought that was like the cooler thing because I hated like growing up in like just like Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's like I'll talk to Tamar about this because she's from California, went to college in New York, and all the things that I really liked growing up were a lot more normal like in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like because it was like a lot less frequent that I'd see people find people that knew who Jeff Rosenstock was and liked that kind of stuff, that I felt like there was like a badge of honor there.
As a way to be unique.
Yeah.
And set yourself apart from other folks.
Like, I did genuinely like it, but, like, because it was so rare, I think there is, like, a little bit that, like, kind of has to seep in when it's, you do, like, what is, at least to you, countercultural things.
This is classic teenager behavior.
Yeah.
You need to separate from your community and your parents and go out on your own so you can find out who you are. Also, it's on the Enneagram. Do you know the Enneagram? It's like this personality thing. So there's a number called 4, and they are the artist number, and they cannot be like everybody else. They like they're the goth kids. They're like it hurts them to be clumped together. They need to be unique in themselves. And do you identify with that now that you're older, or do you think you were just trying to be unique as a kid? Being a stand-up comedian, although the longer we go, the more it's like getting popular for everybody to do it. It's kind of unique. Most people are excited to talk to you at a cocktail yeah. party when you say you're a comedian, and they say, "Tell me a joke," and then you punch them in the throat.
I think like when I talk about like I was a weird little freak.
Yeah, you
and
were.
I liked weird little freak things.
A weird little freak.
And that was separate from a lot of people.
Can you put, is that going to be the name of your album, Weird Little Freak?
No, I do have the name picked out already. Close. It's Loser Baby.
That's a great name.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like when you like weird little freak things and you go down those rabbit holes and you find those like subcultures, those subcultures embrace like the what you're talking about, like the idea of like being different. I think that just kind of seeps in.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like as an adult, I don't think it's like cooler or like you deserve any like rewards for not liking popular stuff. Mm-hmm. Very funny, the dude who I have the lyrics tattooed of, Jeff Rosenstock, one of the songs I like the most from him, like the main chorus is him, the shit that you hate doesn't make you special.
Yeah,
and
preach.
I feel
haters.
Like, yeah.
Haters be hating.
I feel like he has another song about how like punk is kind of like that, of like a lot of like people like, oh, virtue signaling and like, mm-hmm. not even virtue signaling, because I feel like that has a connotation with like certain like more like moral things, but like I'm more punk than you and doing like the right punk things. It's like, and starting the song off to like talk about those kind of people, being like, I know it's hypocritical to point fingers at the people who point fingers. Which I feel like is like, yeah, it's
yeah.
like.
Yeah. He's probably older, too. He's probably tired of hanging out with these kids who are like,
yeah.
they're not the real deal. I'm the real deal.
Yeah, what like, real punk is, what's not. Like, I do like that So I think there's a time in my life where I was like, what, this is like real cool punk shit. And then now I feel like, oh, it's like all, what you like. It doesn't
it's
matter.
It's a big gooey pot. Everyone's doing their best. And let's just have a good time and be friends and who cares. And there's no finish line. You just all die in the end.
It doesn't mean you're less punk because you listen to Dua Lipa or whatever. Like that used to be like probably like a type of point of view that I shared at some point that now I no longer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe yes, at one point that I identify with the four, but not now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You give a four a wing, and I think that's actually most teenagers too. Mm. Just trying to push your way. You know what? I'm having a little trouble trying to. So I try to label people because that's what this show's about. But people back
tiny hands have an ass nerdy bitch is what you've
box.
Labeled.
Yeah, get back in your box with your tiny little hands. No, I was gonna say you're like a boy come to life. Like, was that Pinocchio?
Fuck?
Like you, because maybe because you're 26 and we get to learn so much about you when you're young, and now you're wise, because you're like must be cool now.
You're a real boy cool. nerd.
Yeah,
and your tiny hands. But you also like to do Ren Faire, and you could do a backflip, and then you do soccer. Like it's like.
I read a bunch of comic books growing up.
Comic books, soccer.
Anime.
Like, this is my nephew. He's 10. No, he's actually going to turn 7 soon.
I think with each passing generation, there is sort of, like, more settled in of, like, what you like is not who you are. And there's no – there's. I feel like there's a lot less, like, pressure on – identifying as your hobbies or things like you, it's like kind of like, oh no, you have a personality that is separate from the things you like. The things you like are not your personality. So like, I think it's like encouraged a lot more, like just trying different things and not being afraid. Like I said, like not being afraid to be like, oh, you're not punk because of this, or like just in general, like larger.
Have you seen like old school documentary footage of like people like famous musicians hanging out in the 60s when they're all young and they're just talking about what's authentic, what's real? And I watch it, I'm like, they sound like 12-year-olds. Like they sound so silly talking about and like even like the art scene back then and music, and it was like cult of like whatever a famous person is doing has to be special or whatever. It makes me like feel like they're like children talking, and they were children, they were teenagers and in their early 20s, but I would not imagine a 20-year-old person talking like that today.
You have so much more access to so much more culture now that like it's like
and therapy
a lot more like well developed, which is so funny because it's like it's at the same time like the internet is, you can make the argument the internet is making like generations as we go on more antisocial, and like I don't like the niche like subgroups are like becoming so all encompassing that like everyone's like part of like a niche subgroup.
Everything's pigeonholed or like splintered off into these different things, and everyone's a little bit famous. There's like people have 13 million followers, I've never heard of them. There's no mainstream anymore.
But with like everything, like when the mainstream disappears, everything like you can just go like all the different niche like things that you want to. It allows, I think, people to dip their toes into more things.
Yes, and I have to identify as.
Yeah, but then you go
except
out in
for unless it's Taylor Swift, because then you better wear the outfit, bitch. You better have sprinkles and sparkles and crystals and pink. And feathers. Did you go to any of the Taylor Swift concerts?
I did not. Tamar went. She loved it. She's a huge
Swiftie.
Yeah. Sometimes she'll cry and be like, I just wish I could go back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't imagine. Like, I have like multiple bands now tattooed on me.
Yes. Does she have a tattoo for Taylor?
No. And I'm like,
she's not a real fan.
I'm trying to think of like what like pop culture thing would do that for me. Though I'm envious of the Swifties.
Oh, like their devotion. Absolute devotion. Right? I have never been able to do that as well. Well, you did for your band originally, but I can never, like people just like screaming and losing their minds. Maybe at like a drag show I've done that.
But like to like really, they're so like in it. Like they're like that is like, it's like I almost want to use the term cult like.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like, I don't know, even the things that I'm most passionate about and I love, like I can't imagine being like, yeah, like that Ticketmaster crashing because of something, like, and like being like going on the resale market and paying thousands of dollars
for tickets.
Yeah, I'm like, I'd be like, all right, it's fine.
Bert Kreischer came and performed at the Punchline.
Yeah.
And I got the email and bought tickets immediately. And I guess like the site crashed after that or something. So that's as close as I got to being a site crasher.
Dude, they just love her so much. And
do you feel like you want that? I mean, is that why you're dyeing your hair blonde?
Do I want to find that connection with a piece of media, or do I want that for myself?
Do you want that for yourself?
No. God, that sounds terrifying.
A lot of responsibility. She's doing a good job of being like moral and fighting for gay rights in her in Tennessee and all that, Nashville.
Everything you do, being like, you know, like that much power sounds just exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Like realizing that like that many people live and die by like what you do is scary.
Yeah, if you make the wrong statement and people try to like, I use this hair product, and then they're all allergic to it, and they die from it or something. Wah! Okay, we got to wrap this up. Joel, do you have any insights into what kind of nerd our friend is here? Zach Wright.
He's just kind of a nerd.
But like at the same time, you're kind of like a cartoon character come to life. Like
I did get called Tintin a lot in high school.
Is that a cartoon character?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tintin, like Rin Tin Tin. No?
No, like the little boy exploring the world with the rosy cheeks. Oh, that is? Okay.
Right? And he had a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like a little like old school punk. Not old school, but like he's just a punk nerd.
You're a punk nerd.
You used to be like a punk skater kid that was always nerdy, and then now...
But you're joyful. You have a joyful energy and a shine to you.
You know that punks can be happy, right?
No, I didn't know any. They were all that like, makes sense. And then smoking cigarettes.
Oh, I think like that is like, that's sort of like the huge shift in punk, I'd say, from like the mid-90s on, like the way more like PMA, positive mental attitude, like happy, like...
Did you ever do hardcore where they put the X's on their hands and they don't drink or smoke or anything?
My favorite pro wrestler to really tie it all back, CM Punk, that I slept with after he won the title, he's straight edge and he had
straight
the X's.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like that for a second because I loved CM Punk and I would do the little wrist tape that he did with the X's on it.
Oh, okay.
But then I started smoking weed at like 12 and I was like, oh, that's out the window.
It turns out that's pretty tight. Yeah. Never mind, my bad.
Yeah.
Did your dad get that for you because he was in the band? Or
No. That was my own adventures.
Into your dad's closet?
No, my dad does not smoke. I don't think
he's
ever really. I don't think he ever really liked smoking weed.
Talk about
a
poser. Okay. All right, my friend. I'm going to say you are a cartoon character brought to life and then made like a it's like 20 years later and like he's done some drugs and he's got like some tattoos and some rough sides.
Oh, so you're saying
still joyful.
You're saying I'm Riverdale.
Oh, what's Riverdale?
It's the live action Archie where they're like, it's like dark teen CW drama. I'm Riverdale. That's
Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the new one. Have you seen that one?
Okay, that makes, that's a similar boat. Yeah.
Yeah. You look like a main character in that show. Because you're thin and handsome, too. Like, you could be on TV.
Well, thank you. I don't know. Will they take me with this size hands? Is that going to be a deal breaker to be
Have
in?
Have you seen who's the guy who's really small and has all the power and is gay? Top Gun guy.
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise.
Those are Tom Cruise size hands.
I also have Tom Cruise teeth.
Yeah, get yourself an apple box. You'll be good to go.
They don't line up in the center of my face.
Oh.
It's like off to the side.
Oh, fancy. All right. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're a good boy.